Lecture 19, Inclusionist Stirrings, Douglas and Stanton.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one portion of the family of man to assume among the people of the earth a position different from that which they have hitherto occupied, but one to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes that impel them to such a course. In the last two lectures, we discussed the expansion of the people. We discussed the democratization of American liberalism and a liberal individualistic reaction against it. Thoreau's criticism of liberal society was that of an insider wanting out. He was an educated white male with voice and suffrage. He was privileged. He was inside the system. People paid attention to him. He had the attributes of citizenship. But not all were. The original Constitution did not guarantee equality. It didn't even mention it. Slaves were discussed at the convention, but never as political beings. In fact, the word slavery doesn't appear in the Constitution. Just to give you two examples, Article 1, Section 2, which we talked about in lecture number 11, which comes up with the Three-Fifths Compromise, concludes this way: three-fifths of all other persons. All other persons being slaves. Article 4, Section 2, the Fugitive Slave Clause. No person held to service or labor in one state under the laws thereof, escaping to another, shall, in consequence of any law or regulation therein, be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due. That would be the slave owner. And the runaway property would be a slave. So blacks were discussed at the Constitutional Convention. Women were never discussed, at least politically. 55 guys in Philly. But they were never discussed politically, as political entities, at the convention. They were functionally invisible. Even though the 55 white guys in Philadelphia didn't think so, slaves and women knew they existed as visible beings. They knew that the values of liberalism did apply to them. With the expansion of the notion of the people during the Jacksonian era, there came a response from these quarters, abolitionist quarters, and also feminist quarters, to take the claims of African Americans, slaves, and women seriously, to expand the people to include them, their argument being that they are denied equality and liberty. The quote I read at the beginning of this lecture is from the Seneca Falls Declaration. It was written by one of the principals of this lecture, Elizabeth Cady Stanton. It mimics Jefferson's Declaration of Independence. Frederick Douglass and Elizabeth Cady Stanton were liberal critics of a different sort than Thoreau. They were outsiders wanting in. Their beef wasn't with liberalism and the oppression that it imposed on them as citizens. Their beef was that they were not allowed to function as citizens, that they weren't considered to be truly part of the people. Let's take a look at these two outsiders who looked at American liberal practice from their particular perspectives. Frederick Douglass was the outsider's outsider. He was born into slavery in 1818. His mother was sold when he was a baby, and he never knew his father. He learned to read when it was illegal to teach blacks, to teach slaves how to read.